today on Real Life Radio.
My dear friend, if a United States passport allows you to go somewhere, how much more does the passport of Jesus Christ, his salvation in your life, allows you access to heaven? Friend, that's somewhere, and that's where you're going.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What if 2026 wasn't about doing more, but about knowing God more? This January, we're featuring one of the most powerful and timeless books on Christian faith, Knowing God, written by J.I. Packer. Now, this classic has helped millions of believers move from knowing about God to actually knowing God personally. With deep biblical insight and heart-centered focus, Packer invites you to explore God's character, His love, and what it really means to walk with Him. It's not a quick read, it's a life-changing one. Start your year with truth that will reshape your mind, strengthen your heart, and deepen your faith.
Friend, this is a great book to get, and take time to read it. Maybe read a page or two a day. Contemplate it. Think about it. But friends, get a copy for yourself, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. I promise you, it affected my life. It'll do the same for you.
That's Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Get your copy for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2, continues now in his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter understood the times that they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big God really is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. In part one, we learned that as followers of Jesus Christ, we will suffer hardship, sickness, pain, even persecution. The Bible often speaks about the lives of real people in real situations of suffering. There really is no other way to experience Jesus on a close personal level than to also experience his suffering. But we also know that God has an ultimate plan and that we suffer with a purpose. God is preparing us for eternity in heaven along with him. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that throughout the ages, Christianity has been under attack. The world hates the fact that whoever we are or wherever we live or whatever oppression we're under, we can find joy in our newfound freedom in Jesus Christ. And now with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask you to bless your word to our hearts. And Father, I know it's been many weeks since we've been in this portion of Scripture, but may you just cause that space, that gap to evaporate, and by your Holy Spirit, be our Moriel, that you would be our teacher today. We love you, God. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, you can be seated this morning, and with Bibles open, we're picking it up in a message that we've entitled, What We Really Need When We Really Hurt. And that almost sounds like some sort of a book or some sort of a podcast, a modern day announcement. And maybe, you know, maybe that would be good and that's fine. I'm not knocking it. But what I don't want to do is take away from the gravity of what was happening in the first century period and to those who Peter was writing to. Now, first of all, we have to remember that the Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the, what? Sun, S-U-N, the sun. There's nothing new in this world. In other words, things repeat. History repeats. It's almost as though God, in some degree, allows the broken record to skip and jump again and repeat matters so that we might get it. And the early church was under persecution because of their association with Jesus Christ. They had become alienated from family, from employment. They had lost property. They had lost associations. They had lost everything for the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, throughout the ages, throughout the last 2,000 years, that storyline, that play, that scene is played out perpetually somewhere at any given time in the world. Now, you and I have been blessed from generation to generation over these last oh, I don't know, 300 years of the West here in America, the concept of freedom, the understanding of God being the one who resides or presides over the affairs of men. Our nation has been brought up in the Judeo-Christian worldview value. Are you listening with what I'm about to say? Today, the unbelieving narrative doesn't say Judeo-Christian worldview. They call it the view or the belief of the West. They pull God out and they just talk about the terrible views of the West. Well, the truth of the matter is the Western culture of civilization was advanced through the world by the spreading of the gospel. And when that gospel spreads, it is the spreading of what is good, of what is light, of what is life, of what is meaning and what is purpose. In fact, I want to say this, in light of feminism today, and in light of extreme liberalism today, in light of leftism today and socialism today, I want to lay this at your feet, and that is go and research which of those worldviews have served women better in human history. Which one of those worldviews has served all those, listen, of faith, even those who claim to have no faith? In all of the world throughout history, wherever the gospel is preached and God's Bible from Genesis to Revelation is present in a culture, there is an increase in the standard of living. There's an increase, by the way, in rights and privileges. And it's universal, which I love that. And what I'm saying is the atheist has the exact same rights here in America that any committed Christian does today or anybody else for that matter. You want to know why? That's a Judeo-Christian worldview. And that just doesn't come about with man concocting government. It comes around by a radical change of the human heart. And when Christ comes into your life and changes your heart and your way of thinking, you begin to be someone that, frankly, no longer, or not much anyway, longer emits or depicts your life before meeting Jesus. You are a changed person. And you would think, by the way, you would think that this would be true, that every politician, every government would want Christians to be in their city limits, but that's strangely not the case. In fact, it was Nero himself that was told by his Senate, the Christians pay their taxes, leave them alone. It's the Christians that don't commit crimes, leave them alone. And by the way, that ought to be true everywhere in the world, wherever Christians are. Right now, as you know, still, North Korea's hammering down on Christians. China, don't be deceived by China, friends. China talks about having a church and that there's freedom. No, you need to talk to some Chinese who have come out of China. And you need to be careful because that's a facade. The true evangelical Bible-believing Christians in China meet and gather over the pain of death. If they're found out, they're imprisoned or put to death. You need to know that. There's a fear that people will be free and think for themselves. And when Christ comes into your life, the world, listen, the world will hate you for your newfound freedom. Think about the hundreds of people who accepted Christ here last week. And what is their story this week? They went home and they told friends, family, husbands and wives, children, parents, hey, I accepted Christ this day. Hey, I became a Christian today. How did that go over? You would think, can you imagine a man goes home today after accepting Christ and he says, honey, I'm so sorry I've cheated on you. Sleeping around like a tomcat, abusing you, not paying the bills. You don't know where I'm at from days on end. You know what? I accepted Christ today. No more of that. Wouldn't you think that that woman would say, praise the Lord? You'd be surprised what some of the reactions are. Quite shocking. The transformation. And yet, you're a new creation. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven. Before that happens, God is using you. And instead of having a rose-strewn path, you have rejection and opposition and attack. And I want to say, cheer up, my dear Christian friend. It's proof positive that you are of another world now. You're a citizen of heaven. And I want you to think about the fact that when the Bible says you are now a citizen of heaven, you've got a passport regarding heaven, my dear friend. If a United States passport allows you to go somewhere, how much more does the passport of Jesus Christ, his salvation in your life, allows you access to heaven? Friend, that's somewhere, and that's where you're going. And yet the world will resist that, and that's okay. So look, I am dedicated to getting to the end of verse 19, and so I need to go to work here and now. So listen to this. Right here, right now, Christians will be persecuted in this world. You understand that? Christians will be persecuted. And you might have brought your friend here today saying, Pastor, you know, I want my friend to accept Christ. Take it easy. Let's be honest right now. Let's just tell your friend right here, right straight up. You accept Jesus Christ? Oh, it's going to be awesome. It is going to be awesome. God, it's awesome. Okay? But with that awesomeness comes the reality that you don't belong here anymore. And even though somebody doesn't know that yet, they're going to somehow feel a separation from you because now you're a follower of Jesus. If we today were given a sermon or a conference on church growth, how do you grow a church in numbers? That conference will never be held here, by the way, at this church. Thank you. I'm just pretending now. It would be things like change your carpet, hand out lotto tickets at the door. I don't know. But it's all these human gimmicks. Here's what Jesus does when he's preaching the gospel to grow the church. Are you ready? Jesus says in John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So sign up, come forward, and accept Jesus today. No, think about it. Yet he did that every time. He gives you the truth straight up front, and it's awesome.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number one, we saw last time briefly in our study together that what we really need when we really hurt is found in verses 12 to 13, and that is a greater faith. Remember that? We are to have and to nurture a greater faith. And in verse 12, we learned that faith in God's long-term plan is what you and I need. God has a long-term plan. He said, beloved, do not think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. The statement is emphatic. This is what will try you. What is it? A fiery trial. It's coming. It comes. And the emphasis on that word also, try. Remember, the word means to be under great heat, great pressure, great scrutiny of burning. The word burning, not in flames, so to speak, but in purification, trying. When something is tried in a fire, and that word fire here actually means not to destroy, but to consume all that is waste. It consumes the chaff. It consumes the pollutants. When something is burned, listen, those of you who are in the medical field, and I know for 13 years in the laboratory that I worked in, when we got done with our surgical tools, we didn't throw them away. They're stainless. They're expensive. Do you know what we did with them? We gave them over to the people who carted them off. And for those of you who know, they put them in an oven called autoclave, and they put them in there and they turned it up as hot as they could. Why? Because the heat purged the impurities. Are you with me? The heat killed the sicknesses, the diseases that were on the instruments. And fiery trials, listen, burn up the chaff within the body and within my life. When you and I enter into a trial, when things are difficult, it is designed by God for you, the believer, that out of you will be burning up more Pride. Pride is the last thing to go, by the way. It's the first thing to come, it's the last thing to go. Everything in between is all connected to pride, but pride is the mother of all sins. And pride is like a bookend. And you and I, our sanctification is in the middle. Can you see that with my description? Bookends. Pride. In the middle is the sanctification that's going on in our lives right here and right now. And what happens is when you and I have a difficult day, when things are happening in our lives as a believer, our emotions think God has left us. We talked about that last time. The truth of the matter is God perhaps is never more close than in that moment. And though you may not feel him, that's part of the purifying process. He's near and he's asking you to trust him through the fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, through the fire with him. All the way through the Bible. All these great, listen, faith crisis events in the Bible. The reason why you love Joshua, the reason why you love Deborah, the reason why you love Moses and David, every single one of them in the Bible. The reason why they're in there is because they went through a fiery faith crisis. Do you ever think of that? Even Samson, poor pathetic nut, right? Called of God, did a lot of dumb things, right? And yet God loved him enough to put him through cleansing that would eventually work God's will out in Samson's life. But it's true for your life. Dear friend, if you're a Christian today, just know this. Just embrace this. As we said last time, God's plan in your life is to get you to shine so brightly before an unbelieving world, and that's only done through suffering and trials of life. So let's sign up. Greater faith, long-term plan. We saw also last time that we need to have faith in God because God has appointments. These are divine appointments, no matter what it is. Divine appointments. This week, since last Sunday, so then we got together on Wednesday night, prayed for a dear brother here in this church with tumors in the brain. He loves the Lord Jesus. What's up? He's in a fiery trial. And the hour now for him is to cling on to Jesus. And he's clinging. He's hanging in there. His faith is being tried. When we say try, remember the word fire doesn't mean to burn it up. It means to purify it. God's appointments. Thirdly, we saw last time that we need to have faith in God's finished work. And this is a remarkable thing. God's work is finished. Didn't we learn that on Palm Sunday? Remember? God's work in you, watch, is finished. In other words, it's in a box and it's finished and it's got a bow on it and it's got your name on that box. It's finished. It's done. There's nothing, in fact, when you read the book of Hebrews, it says regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, are you listening? Yes. It says regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, you have already been sanctified. You say, what? Yep. God looks at you and it's done. You're in the box with the bow on it. But the Bible also says in the book of Hebrews that we are in this life being sanctified. What does that mean? It means we're supposed to live for Jesus in the here and now. You and I are growing. Look, you know exactly what I mean. If you were a Christian 3 years ago and you're a Christian today, have you grown? Have you grown in the knowledge of the Word of God? Is God using you? In the last year or 6 months or 3 years, can you say or report to someone else that something strange has happened in your life? God did something that is amazing and you can't explain it. He's working in you. Maybe it's a personal thing and a great peace has come upon you. You're not the same person anymore. But when you unwrap that box and you look in it and you see, this is how when we look at the Bible, we're supposed to see ourselves complete in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? This is awesome because we don't live our Christianity from the point of becoming a follower of Jesus and becoming righteous and becoming a child of God. No, because Christ has bought those things and given those things to you, we're coming from the position of the victor already. So we, in fact, the Bible says, walk in this light as he is in the light. Are you with me? This is liberating stuff. Christians ought not to be sweating even when they're in the fire because he's done it. So when you and I go through something, what do we do? Oh, Lord, this hurts. Give me the strength to go through this. Give me the power to endure this. Jesus, I don't understand. That's the great part of a fiery trial. We don't get it. And by the way, he's not going to tell you. That's part of the trial until you're through it. And you say, Lord, just get me through this. I'm going to hang on to you and give me the strength to hang on to you. He's got a plan. He's going to finish it. So church, here we pick it up. Second argument under this, what we really need when we really heard it is the fact that we need to see the greater purpose. And that's in verses 14 to 16. That's what Peter's communicating to his precious flock that's in the world. There's a greater purpose, and mark it down. Verse 14 is understanding who we are. Understanding who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Blessed are you. For the spirit, look, the spirit of glory, and it means the spirit of God, rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. The world is attacking you, cursing you, coming after you. But it's not because it's you. It's because it's of Christ. He says, but on you, he is, or on your part, he is glorified. To understand where we are, we'll go through this rather quickly because again, for some, it might be review. Peter is saying that since this has happened to you now, as a Christian, you're being attacked, just wait till later. It's all going to be worth it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, hang in there. Don't give up. I was just told before service started that a young lady, 15 years of age, in Fullerton area, jumped off of a building to commit suicide and killed herself. She'd lost hope. Don't do that. Stop today. If you are thinking that you're at the end of your rope, at the end of your life, understand this, that God's got a greater purpose for your existence. You've been lied to, you've been deceived, and you've played into it. Don't go that way. And there's a qualifier here when you look at this scripture. It says here about being reproached. You would ask the question, why? Why would that happen to you? You see that simple little word for? Some of your Bibles say because. It's because of the name of Christ. That's the qualifier. Church, this is important. Does anybody care what I'm talking about? Okay, listen, if somebody mocks and makes fun of you and rejects you for being a Christian, this word is announcing it's for the cause of Christ. It's because of the cause of Christ. You have aligned yourself with Jesus. And remember, John 15, Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because of this. They will hate you because of Jesus. You want to stop the noise in a room? Mention the word Jesus in a loving way. It's remarkable. Jesus. It's because of Jesus. The word means you are condemned because or based on association. You name the name of Christ. It's the name of Jesus. Remarkable. And so that word reproach, get this down. It's amazing. It's so modern. It's so today. The word reproach in the original Greek language means to cast or to throw insults at someone. Think of that. In my mind, I see somebody saying some mean, ugly word about you, and like a pitcher on a mound throwing it right at you. To cast or to throw insults at you. Does that ever happen to you because you're a Christian? Look, if it happens to you because you're a goofball, that's your problem. You're on your own. If you're obnoxious, you deserve those things to come flying at you. Are you with me? Okay, we're not talking about being an idiot. Oh, look, I'm being persecuted. No, you're just dumb. But if it's for the cause of Christ, that you're preaching the truth and giving the truth to your friends or family or someone in love. You know, I have no stomach for people who stand on platforms with a cross over their head, with a bullhorn, saying, you're all burning in hell. You're all going to go to hell. You ever seen those people? That's insane. God is not in that. But when you are a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and people begin to reject you, the qualifier is because the Holy Spirit really is working in your life and bringing out the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus in your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget, Jesus is not going to replace your suffering with glory. He's going to transform your suffering into glory. What We Really Need When We Really Hurt, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Truth doesn't need permission, and it doesn't need a filter. The Real Life Network delivers bold biblical content that addresses today's toughest issues with clarity and conviction. Watch teachings and interviews and the special programs that equip you with God's truth for the world that we live in today. Sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com. Stay grounded in Scripture, gain perspective, and remain confident in Christ no matter what's happening around you. Stream for free today at reallifenetwork.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.